Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more than table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Can you remember everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I got Honorable Knight Thomas in here, and we're working to get Raymond in here, unless he overslept and all that kind of stuff, which that's fine. People need their sleep. I love that song there, Perfect Strangers. I don't know why, but it's got a good, powerful song. Sound. Not like the sound I got coming out of my mouth right now. Anyway, yeah. I posted some links over there in the superchat.html about some different things over there. It's actually a pretty wide range of subjects that I posted, I think. One of which is something that, you know, I never really looked into before, but they got some windmills in certain areas where sometimes it gets too windy, and basically they'll spin up until they catch fire and explode and fall over and all that kind of jazz. And so I was thinking, you know, that's one problem that could be resolved. And we'll get to that, because that's basically what today's show is about. Problem, resolution, and that kind of stuff. Seeking solutions, you know. Goes way back. Back to old TNS radio and different networks out there that's always out seeking solutions to problems that exist in the world. And the next video link that I posted was a Chinese guy talking about gun control and why it doesn't work. And he was an immigrant to the United States, now proud to be an American, and he's standing up for gun rights for people. And the way that he explains the deal, you could tell he obviously did a lot of research. And, you know, we'll get into that, because there's another problem there. And the last deal there is that it's probably multiple problems, which we could probably get in probably about 10 or 15 shows on, is the Hillary and Trump dog and pony show that's going on right now for President of these United States. And so, you know, there was emails that were linked, leaked and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, don't have to really tell anybody about how corrupt politicians are, but, you know, it's definitely another problem. So, basically, just with those three subjects there, we've got tons and tons of problems in the world, most of which could be resolved with the right actions and stuff like that. I think the biggest drawback and the biggest problem that we've got is the fact that we can't really trust a lot of the information that flows down the pipeline at us. And believe me, if you could visualize standing in the center of a, let's say, a 10-foot in diameter sewer pipe, and all of that's flushing down at you at the same exact time, and you got to pick through there and try to find a sticky note that has the truth on it, that's pretty much what's going on. And that is a huge problem. Because if you're going to make an educated decision towards future actions or voting or anything like that, life in general, you know, maybe even in the stock market or your financial deal, you need to have some truth. You need to have a bit of knowledge that you can trust, that you can base a good decision on. Nowadays, it's you know, it's hard. It's worse than playing Russian roulette, because you just never know. You never know with whether or not that one bullet's coming down to get you, or whether or not that you know, the information provided for you is going to shield you from that one bullet coming down to get you. You know, so it's a gamble. Life seems to be like a crapshoot, and it's just, sometimes it ain't worth it. You know, you got a 50-50 chance of slipping in the bathtub on a bar of soap, but when you step outside the door, I think your odds drastically increase that you're going to have some sort of negative reaction by the time you get out that door and off your property into the world out there. And so, if you ain't got the knowledge to back you up and protect you from the craziness, or know enough about the law, or, you know, just people in general or places that you might be going, you could find yourself in some really deep trouble before you even knew what hit you. So, the average Joe out here has really got their work cut out for them, just trying to keep their head above water, just trying to survive, you know, feed your family, get your kids properly educated, you know, and there's always something or someone out there with some sort of agenda that's always trying to manipulate you into believing one way or doing one way, you know, voting their Republican or Democrat or even Libertarian or Green Party or whatever. It's always some sort of, Alex Jones calls it the war for your mind or information war or whatever, you know, which, you know, it's a pretty good catchphrase, but in reality, it's fact. You know, there is a war on for your mind. There's a war on for information, and the internet kind of like, as much as you can say bad or good for it, kind of like balanced things out. It was almost a check and balance there where, you know, the average Joe could now become the media, you know, such as Shaziz Radio or any of the other networks that we're affiliated with. They're, out there trying to find the truth. They're out there trying to put the truth out there for other people to hear it. And all of it's drops in the bucket compared to the power of the financial institution that is the mainstream media and major banks and government organizations. So, you know, that's a whole lot to put on your plate in order to be able to try to sort through all that to find out what you like the best out of the deal. You know, sometimes I wonder whether or not they're not just messing with us all together. You know, maybe everything outside the door is perfect. It's all fine. There ain't all these wars that we keep hearing about, you know. And then again, how could you not at least try to find out whether it was going on for real? And if it was going on, find a remedy for it. Something. Anything.
Right.
So, we do the best that we can with what we got to work with. We bring brilliant minds to the table like Thomas and Raymond and Muddy and all the different guys and gals you hear on the shows and stuff like that. And we talk about things and we give our views and just try to do the best we can with what we got to work with. And then on the side, we work on projects that we're sharing with all the people out there in hopes that we'll spark off some sort of thinking revolution to where nobody just believes what they hear because they heard it, you know, because they heard it on mainstream media or even on the internet, you know, it's got to be true. It's like Bigfoot, man. I ain't seen Bigfoot. I mean, I came close to something that was like Bigfoot, and I got the heck out of Dodge, me and my cousin, but, you know, it wasn't no verification that that was because Bigfoot was swimming across the lake at us. It could have been a bear for all I know. But until the evidence is in, I can't honestly put it out in front of you and say, this is the truth, this is God's honest truth. I saw Bigfoot, I saw a UFO. I have seen UFOs in the sky that were unidentified to me, but, you know, maybe being 30,000 feet in the air, it looks a little different than it would be if it was closer flying over the top of your house. So I had to base my decisions on what the heck it was by what I visualized, what I saw, the evidence presented to me. And at the time, it was unidentified. So maybe, you know, it's all a perception of how the information that you gather, how you take it out there. And so when you go to spread that information, you need to try to be responsible enough to say, look, hey, I saw this light in the sky. It was not like anything I ever saw, and it appeared to me, you know, like just standing there. It wasn't moving, and then suddenly it shoots off like a rocket, you know, or worse. So, the problems that we got out there, the first problem that I talked about was the wind turbines, all right? They're out there, they're either knocking birds out of the air, you know, windmills knocking birds out of the air, which is in that one particular video link that I posted over there at the superchat.html. And so you might have to scroll up to see them when you get in the chat room, because there's a lot of chat going on in there. It's cool. Anyway, that problem right there, that's only a mechanical issue that could be easily resolved. You know, there's some mathematicians out there that could tell you, you know, by how fast the wind speed is, how much pressure you would have to cause a system to start winding down that generator, windmill, so that, let's say, for example, you got a wind turbine, which is like a barrel or something like that, and it's only set to go at a certain speed, and then when it gets up to that certain speed, any extra pressure on the top of that will trip a gear that will allow that thing to literally go down inside a tube and start cutting off surface area of the actual turbine itself, so that it takes even stronger wind to spin it. And at worst case scenario, it brings it all the way down inside and blocks the winds out and just stops it all together. Which, it's only engineering, folks. It's only a little bit of math, how much pressure it would take to push down on a spring-loaded system that whenever the wind was at the right speed or stopped completely, that this thing would go up in the air on its own. You know, we could do these things, and we could actually fix these blades with, you know, systems where they would protect any birds from flying into it. It's not like it can't be done, right? Expense-wise, of course it's going to cost extra money to put any kind of accessories on any gizmo out there, you know, but we're talking about advancement of society. You know, if you want to advance in society and you see that there's a problem, you address it and you fix it. You know, you bring your best mathematicians and engineers to the table and you design self-protecting systems. I mean, we already do that. We got circuit breakers in our house that run anywhere from 15 amp to 20 amp, 30 amp, and, you know, whatever, that if you pulling too many amps on the circuit breaker, it automatically shut the power off so that it don't burn your house down. You don't have a wire fire. So when people say that, well, you know, wind power, it's just not gonna do it, you know, it's not reliable, and they fall apart or they blow up or they chop birds up, you know, those are the kind of folks that are the boat anchors to society that don't allow us to move forward. The ones that are actually going to help us advance are the ones that say, yeah, that is a problem, and I think I got an idea on how to fix that. Who has a CAD program we can sit here and work it out? You know, and so that's how you do it, you know. You troubleshoot stuff. I've seen as many as 6 to 10 guys around one car, and they're all troubleshooting it together, you know. Is it getting spark? Is it getting fire? Is it getting fuel, you know, or whatever? And before it's all said and done, somebody spots something such as a loose wire that, you know, hey, easy solved, there you go. And everybody's happy and laughing about it, you know. And so that's one problem. That's not that big of a deal that couldn't be resolved. And the gun control issue that the Chinese guy, I mean, here's a immigrant that came to the United States, calls himself American now, is proud to call himself American. He took the time to do the research and point out that other countries that had gun control, they didn't fare so well. Ask the Australians how it worked out for them. They actually had a program where they would buy these guns from these people, and under the guise of promise that crime would go down and everything would be just hunky-dory, you know. But it didn't work out so well. It didn't work out in Nazi Germany and all the other countries, Communist China, you know, Tiananmen Square. Look that one up. That was a real mess. A bunch of students and the government clashing, and yeah, the government fared better than the students, you know. And then moving on down to the last video that I posted over there, the Hillary and Trump deal. Now, if everything is to be believed that has come down in the alternative media, leaked emails and all, and all the different channels that are talking about all the crimes that this lady who's running for president had committed, you know, any other average Joe, military or government individual without the power structure backing behind her, they would have been so far under the jail that they would be speaking Chinese, literally. And, you know, there's two sets of rules, one for the global elite, one for the people that they call sheep, you know, the cattle, so to speak.
Livestock.
Yeah, the livestock. And we got a guy out there named Trump, you know, he appears to be an outsider, and I hope he is an outsider. I hope that they don't steal the election. He draws massive crowds, and he says what the people want to hear. Now, my book is this, you know. I'm probably going to vote for the guy because I can't stand the other candidate, and he seems to be, you know, an average kind of, you know, person outside of the mainstream political system. All right, well, my whole thing about that is that, you know, actions speak a whole lot louder than words. Now, you can talk a good story and all that, but whenever you get in office, are you going to fulfill the promises that you made? You know, it's like all the politicians, hey, you know, elect me and I'll give you freebies and this and that, you know. Make it sound good. Elect me because the other guy's going to steal your granny's wooden leg and such. You know? That's why I said Congressman Bongwater, I'd vote for him because at least, you know he's corrupt and he's honest about it. You know, I'm corrupt. I'm going to screw you on taxes. That's what he said. So why get blindsided by the one that says going to protect you on the taxes when you know what to look for? You see what I'm saying? It's the lesser of two evils to some people, but to me, it's common sense. I want to vote for the less painful, you know, taxes and, you know, life in general, and I want to try to at least slow down the machine that is trying to mow over the country that my children, grandchildren are going to be raised in. And so, there's another problem. And with the gun control issue, there's resolutions that with the political system and the media and the government in general, there are solutions to those problems. The first biggest solution that I can see is that first you got to get control of the propaganda machine. You got to start telling these folks out there that, look, you keep lying to us. We know you're lying to us. We've caught you lying to us so many times. We know how you make your money, and we're going to ensure that you can't make your money by not buying from anybody that comes on your TV to advertise any product. We're going to go elsewhere to somebody who we trust more. Now, that sounds almost impossible in today's day and age, but it's not, folks. That there is a Walmart, there's other stores out there that you could pick and choose where you spend your dollar at. And that is a way that you can actually start getting their attention, because why would I want to pay for advertisement on a news station that is being boycotted by 230 million people because, you know, we've been lying to them all these years? So there's a solution to that problem right there. And on the gun control issue there, you know, hey, you watch all the zombie movies out there and watch all the vampire movies and all the different hero movies. It's the guy or gal who doesn't have the doggone tool to defend themselves that ends up getting mopped, you know? And if the government gets out of control and you ain't got no defense, then you're just at the mercy of the government. If the bad guy comes through your door and you don't have, he's stronger than you, you don't have no kind of defense, you're at the mercy of the bad guy. I'm not saying that a person should live in fear in their own home, but a person should live almost like the Boy Scout model, always be prepared for anything. You know, stock some extra stuff up on your shelves for worst case scenario, but don't go crazy on yourself trying to, you know, plan for doomsday. Chances are if doomsday ever shows up, we ain't going to fare so well no matter how well we're stocked up, because look out there in the world, folks. People rob you blind. And go watch the series Jericho and see how people will act under certain circumstances when the government has fallen apart. When the government's no longer in action, and you can't just get on the phone and call 911, which these days is a crapshoot anyway. You're either going to get put on hold, or they're going to be 45 minutes out because there's too much crazy going on, or they're too far away from you. So once again, you should make sure that you maintain that Second Amendment so you got some sort of, something. Or get out there and learn some doggone kung fu or something like that where you can jack somebody's jaw if they get out of line or bust in your house or something. There are solutions to all these problems, including the mainstream media, including the corruption of the government. And that's why, I hope that people don't think that we're out trying to fear-monger people. I hope that people understand that all we're talking about is common sense, things that you probably already know in your heart. Maybe it just hasn't taken effect where you've actually had the need to try to be ready for some craziness. And Stephen Gibbons posted a comment in there. He said, criminals do not abide by the laws. That's usually why they are criminals in the first place. So creating laws does not stop criminals getting guns. Only law-abiding people are stopped from being able to defend themselves with equal force being used against themselves. I'm pretty proud of myself. I actually read that without stumbling. That's great, Stephen. Also, the same thing is, they only put locks on front doors for honest people. You go up to the door's locked, somebody don't want you in there, so you don't go in there. But the criminal goes up there with a nifty little lockpick set, and within 30 to 60 seconds, he opens the door and walks right on in. Or if you don't have the fancy lockpick, they use an old an old tool as a key, such as a crowbar, which they pry the door frame apart and kick it in, and there you go, bam. So they... just because there's a lock on the door and a law that says you can't break and enter in somebody's house, criminals don't care what the law says. By definition, that's why they're criminals. So folks, common sense. Make your door stronger to protect yourself. Preserve your Second Amendment to protect yourself and your family. And keep an eye on all the people out there trying to do anything that they can to deplete your freedoms. Thomas Jefferson said, the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. And if you're not willing to pay attention and to be involved in your situation, there's a little deal out there called implied consent, where some governments, all governments are supposed to notify you of any secret or any meetings that are supposed to be public stuff, but or anything that they're going to do with your money or on your behalf. They're supposed to notify you by at least posting it into a major news or small media outlet in your area to allow you to be able to have the opportunity to know that this is coming up for a vote or that's going to be done or something like that. But what ends up happening is when you get the crooked politician who understands that the average Joe isn't going to be appreciative of, something coming down the pipe, then they'll post it in the doggone newspaper. Some little tiny, maybe a couple thousand people read this little newspaper, and by the time they read it and get it out to all their friends, it's too late. The vote's done occurred. There are loopholes. Folks, they know the loopholes. They know loopholes in the law. They know loopholes in the tax. They got attorneys on retainer. They know how to do it because they know how to game the system. They know enough about the system from the inside out that they know how to get what they want over what you want. It's as plain and simple as that. And so the key here is that you get the knowledge and you know just as much about it, if not more than they do, and you hold their feet to the fire. It's as simple as that. So, did we ever get Raymond in here, Thomas?
I'm here.
Yeah, how's it going? So, did you catch any of what I just...
Most of it, yeah. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. The thing is, there were, in the past 2 years, there's been 47 people killed by assault weapons most of them accidentally in the United States. However, there were 47,000 people killed last year alone by claw hammers. So why don't we outlaw claw hammers?
Well, it won't get very many houses built.
Really?
You know.
And, by the way, we could also arrest and put in prison the CEO of Lowe's, Home Depot, Ace Hardware, and people who actually sell these lethal weapons.
Yeah, it's a shame that they're going to sell those hammers that somebody could hurt somebody with.
Let people drive nails with a piece of pipe. No. There were 63,000 people killed by pipe. Oh, deliberately. Ooh, ouch.
Hey, you know what?
So now people can start going down to the river with their buckets and toting water to their house.
I got one that's personal and close to my heart that I think that needs to be banned.
What's that?
And whoever's selling it, jailed. I think we should go as far as whoever partakes of it goes to jail.
There you go.
You want to know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah, I do.
Fruitcake. That stuff will kill you, man.
Oh, man. Disagree on that. Got to disagree. I can eat fruitcake once a week for the rest of my life.
That's the way political debate works, man. I don't like fruitcake. You do like fruitcake. I think it should be banned. I think the inventor should go to jail, and whoever sells it could go to jail, and whoever eats it goes to jail, you know? Amen.
I love fruitcake so much that if I didn't love you at all, I'd hire somebody to go break your leg.
See? That's the way the political system works. You don't like my political view, you go out there and find the skeletons in my closet and put them out for all to see, or send Guido over there to crack his knuckles and in my leg, you know?
Right.
So
fruitcake never killed anybody.
Well, I don't know if it ever killed anybody. I'm sure it probably hurt somebody.
Oh. It's full of vitamins and protein.
They're like it's heavy, man. It's like a brick. You can tie ransom notes to them.
I'm going to buy the biggest fruitcake I can find and send it to you.
You can tie ransom notes to them and throw them through people's plate glass windows.
Something must have happened in your childhood against fruitcake.
Yeah. Well, we had a fruitcake that went around for 7 years. It got re-gifted and re-gifted, and my Uncle Roy, he actually the one that ate it. Yeah. Anyway.
There you go. Never mind. You're right.
Back down to reality and common sense, there's a lot of problems in this world, but it ain't like we can't fix them. We got brilliant minds, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers. We got people who can, give the politicians a run for their money. The only thing that, is the biggest problem that we really got to find a way to overcome is to get the average Joe to start working together. You know, start paying doggone attention and stop believing everything that comes down the sewer pipe at them. You know, they say things on TV, oh, it must be true, man. I read it on the internet. It must be true. You know?
On the internet, it has got to be true. I mean, nobody in his right mind would put a lie on the internet, right?
Yeah, verify it, man. Find out if it's true. If you can't find verification and you want to share the information, then share the information with a respectful disclaimer that says, look, I saw a light in the sky. To me, it was unidentified, so I'm calling it a UFO. I can't guarantee you that it is, but I'd like you to at least look up once in a while. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I was born south of...
Hey, hold on a second.
Country, so I'm kind of like a redneck. And, of course, for all the Yankees that believe that rednecks, marry a sister and have seen the UFO, I can't swear that it wasn't a weather balloon. And I only dated my sister. I didn't actually marry her.
Hey.
Yeah.
You saw an object that was flying, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
You don't know what it was, right?
And it's an unidentified
object. That's right.
I saw an unidentified object. I couldn't swear it was alien because I couldn't identify it.
Well, see, now that you guys hit on a key right there of epic proportions, is that like UFO, it is unidentified to the one who can't identify it, but whenever you first say the word UFO, immediately everybody's brain, because of all the media and stuff like that, is it's alien. It could be an unidentified Russian plane or a Chinese plane or American Black Ops, whatever, but it goes back to the knowledge. It goes back to actually verifying, paying attention. Yeah, it's a UFO. It's definitely a UFO because I don't know what it is. The moment you tell me what it is and prove it with some evidence, and we'll say it was alien. But see, there's two different terminologies related to the same thing that get bundled in to somebody's brain because of the way that we're fed the information. You see what I mean?
Right.
So you got to be a little bit wiser than the average Joe out there, because otherwise, the story starts off that, hey, did you hear what I heard on the radio? We're under attack by aliens. Does that movie sound familiar?
Yeah.
People were running around scared out of their gourd, man, because they didn't know it was just a doggone radio broadcast, and people actually got shot during that deal.
Yep.
Because of the, they got in there at the last second, and all they hear is that we're under attack by alien beings or something.
Yep. That was Orson Welles.
Yep.
Yeah.
What was the name of the deal again?
War of the Worlds.
Yeah, that's it.
Worlds.
If you haven't seen it, folks, go out there or listen to the podcast of War of the Worlds, and you'll understand what we're saying, and imagine yourself being the person that just walked through the door that didn't hear the part where it said, well, this is only a representation and a science fiction, and it's not really happening, folks. But if you just came in on it and you heard it, and suddenly you believe in UFOs and aliens, and they're coming down to get you and eat your face off and snatch your kids, and or probe Uncle Sam.
The aliens are coming. Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
Yeah.
They're raping everybody up in here. Probing them.
Chances are the aliens wouldn't want to come here anyway, because we're some crazy individuals, man. Why would they want to come down here to have a conversation with a bunch of people that can't even get their act together?
Right. Yeah.
So, if I was an alien, I would just sit back and I'd say, look, before we go down there, let's send them a couple of clues or something that, they're doing things wrong, or maybe, something to help them out, because these guys are going to flat out kill themselves. The whole global warming / climate change / climate disruption, and whatever it's going to be next week, depending on the numbers or who tells the story. I've been yelling about that forever and a day, but there are so many people out there who really seriously believe that our planet is doomed because of a man driving around in his car, regardless of the fact that on the other side of the planet, somebody had a volcano go off, spewing a whole bunch of crud, and they're over there running for their life from hot lava flows and trying to survive. And then some knuckleheads on the other side talking about save the planet from global warming.
Right.
Common sense. They didn't get on the mainstream media and say, hey, look, this volcano over here is putting more crud in the air. Our global warming just sped up by a year or two, or three, or four, depending on who does the math.
There's never a time that there aren't at least 25 active volcanoes erupting every second of every day.
Yep.
And sometimes 30.
You know what the key about that is, Raymond?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, the evolutionists and the folks that believe that the Earth has been around for millions of years, do the math on that. Millions of years of volcanoes erupting randomly throughout the entire globe should have took this planet into overdrive as far as heating up. Or, if you knew something about basic science, cooling down. Because when you spew all that crud up in the air, carbon isn't see-through on one side. If carbon has the power to trap in UV rays, it also has the power to block it out. And so, by definition, if you block it out and you're not getting as much sunlight, then it should get really cold.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Right.
So, maybe that's what happened. The caveman had too many campfires and too many dinosaurs farted, and the next thing you know, we had an ice age.
There you go.
And the ones who figured out how to build a fire inside a cave without choking on the smoke, well, that's how the chimney came to be.
Really?
I've seen History of the World Part 1 and 2, and I know how the, you know, cavemen tried to start fire.
Hey, what do you mean you seen Part 2? Where'd you find Part 2? I want to see that.
It was a different name.
Hey, you know what? It just dawned on me. All three of us, right here on this show, went through Y2K. Wow.
Yeah, we did, man.
Yeah.
And I was a computer geek back in them days. I was a computer geek back in them days, and I was telling people, I said, look, I ain't worried about how the computers are going to react. I'm worried about how people are going to act. You know, if the light so much as blinked, everybody would have freaked out. Look, the computers are going to crash. By the time that Y2K actually got around, they already had patches available for any possible deal. And if any system did go down, you know, chances are, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. All you'd have to do is reset the dang thing, you know, or take it to your own manual.
Oh, Shazam. The thing is, you didn't even have to do that. It automatically did. Because I went out. I mean, you know, I was not worried, but I was concerned, okay? So I just simply went out and to a few yard sales and bought two or three computers for $5-6 a piece, came home and set the things for December 31st, 10 p.m. Duh. You just simply roll over.
Yep. See?
All three of them. Simply roll over. Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing.
But do you know how many generators and food and stuff that they sold and fuel they sold by scaring the crud out of the public and putting that information out there that there was this problem?
The whole thing was nothing more than a scam so people could make money.
Dude,
that's all it was.
I have in my possession a toy. I wish I had a camera that I could show you like right now. And I actually put him in a video one time. I have a toy that it says, "Drop me, I'm Crash, the Y2K bug. Hear me crash." And I'm going to see if you can hear this. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
Now, everybody who knows anything about manufacturing knows that it takes a little bit of time to get something marketed, patented, and on the store shelf. So, before Y2K even got here, somebody already capitalized on it and made this cool-looking little beady-eyed bug that makes a crashing noise when you drop him, and they made a killing off of these things.
Really?
See?
Oh, Lord.
There he is. So, I've had that for, you know, since around about the Y2K, you know?
Yeah, somebody's going to make a toy, it's going to look like an ice cube, and you're going to drop it, and it's going to make a sound like it's breaking all apart because of global warming.
Yep. That's the thing, you know. People out there, was it true or not true, or just said that Rome was playing, Nero or somebody was playing a fiddle while Rome burned?
It was Nero. Nero fiddle while Rome burned.
Yeah.
Because he actually gave God picking orders to burn it. And it wasn't Rome, it was the ghettos of Rome. They burned down so they could rebuild.
Well, does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Start a riot over. If you want to get land cheaper, you start a riot over here, they'll tear the doggone place apart, and then nobody will want to live there because the doggone deal, and you come in here like the savior and say, hey, yo, we're going to clean this mess up, and we're going to fight crime, right?
Right.
Plus, you just bought it for pennies on the ground.
That'll get rid of the crime.
Yeah.
It just makes the people move out.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just what they should have never started with. Either move the criminals out or move out yourself. One of the two.
That's how a lot of the doggone real estate people back in the old days used to figure out how to get land cheaper, you know, by doing something bad to people. You know, greed.
I don't know the governor of California that did it, but I do know it was for real. A governor, a guy running for governor of California ran on his ticket was he would reduce crime in California. And after a 4-year term, he started running again, and in his campaign speech to a bunch of reporters, said, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you I would reduce crime in California, and I did exactly my promise. I reduced crime by over 30%. If you re-elect me, I promise you I will reduce crime by 30% more. And one reporter stood up, female reporter, that said, Governor, you didn't reduce crime. You simply locked up the criminals. And the governor leaned into the mic and said, duh.
Yeah, well, locked up the criminals means there's less crime out there.
Exactly. Well, I think we shouldn't lock them up. We should take them out to South Pacific, put them in an island with nothing but themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And let them fend for themselves.
You know, in a perfect world, we could find a solution like that, put all the jerks on an island that they can't get off.
Well, but, you know, that would be a great, actual, useful thing for our space program, to find a planet close enough, or an asteroid large enough to support life, that we could put our criminals on, and that way they have no way to come back here and hurt innocent people. You put the criminals together, unbarred, unchained, unbridled, and let them just fend for themselves.
Well, the problem that I see coming down the road and in the future to be like the, I wouldn't say the devil's advocate or the naysayer, is that when you put them on the other planet, if they have any kind of brains and ingenuity, they might figure out a way to use the resources to build themselves a war machine and come back and try to do what.
If they had brains and ingenuity, they wouldn't be criminals here to start with.
Yeah.
Because actually, there's very few, very, very few, the percentile of criminals that actually make more money being criminals than they do if they were to get an honest job and do an honest day's work. It's less than 0.1%.
Yeah.
The rest of them don't even make what the average person makes flipping burgers at McDonald's.
Well, I think that if we start off working this doggone world in the proper direction and education and stuff like that, you know, I think that you could gradually, incrementally teach people that it really ain't good to be a jerk, you know. I know that there are some people that live in families that their father was a jerk and their mother was a jerk, and maybe one or two or all of them were on dope. And the next thing you know, society, they got themselves in so much trouble and just continue to struggle or whatever. And, you know, for some people, in some people's mind, there ain't no hope to try to save people like that. You know? I understand that there's segments of society that just can't seem to get their act together. But if you started off from the beginning and you started teaching them real things, you know, real science and you know, things of educational value, and you actually taught them in a manner that they really love to learn, or, you know, it's like this. I don't like sitting in some sort of geometry class or something like that with a monotone teacher reading like a script off to me where I'm so bored I can't even focus on the paper, and it's just miserable to learn math. But if I took and used the technology available to me and made some sort of video game where somebody didn't even know they was learning math, imagine going to math class and they say, well, for the first couple weeks, we're going to take a break and we're just going to play a video game. And then I'll tell you why at the end of the 2 weeks why we're playing this video game. And so all the time you're playing this video game, you're trying to troubleshoot yourself and find the secrets and doing all this and going on an adventure. And at the end of the 2 weeks, the guy asks a question. Does anybody know how many buckets it takes to equal this much volume or whatever? And everybody in class raises their hand. Sure, we figured this out in level one. What do you... What's your problem?
Right.
And they didn't even know they were learning. You know, if our educational system is broken, it's because of the way that we teach kids. You know, if kids are miserable, and there are some kids that are in school that who are literally grades above as far as their, you know, their intelligence or whatever, their IQ, that what you're showing them, they're already so far ahead of that, they're bored. You know? You could find these kids' talents, and you could capitalize on them. Like, you see the kid that's always drawing in class, you know? He's not listening in math. Maybe he's listening out one ear, but maybe that kid already knows math, and he's just more interested in art. And so you show this kid, look, hey, there's a art class over here. Would you like to join in on that? You see what I mean? That's the way it should be done. You find the kid's talent, you find their strengths and their weaknesses, and you help them along. And there are teachers out there that do this. Teachers don't get enough credit. You know.
My first marriage, my wife had three kids when we got married by her first husband. Anyway, we used to play dominoes a lot. And instead of matching, you know, in other words, you put a five against five and this, that, and another, I would make up games. I'd say, okay, this game, when you don't put a number on it, it has to equal six. So if somebody put a five, then you had to put a one on it. If they put a four, you put a two on it. So it helped them learn their adding.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you can say, okay, so somebody put down a six, so you put a blank. Or they put down a seven, well, you put down a one.
I had a math teacher.
Add or subtract. So they taught them to add and subtract. And after they got really good at that, then we went to multiplication.
I had a math teacher in grade school that made it so incredibly fun to learn math that she actually gave out like little hard candies for every answer that you got right. So by the end of the day, if you answered a bunch of questions, you could get a bunch of candy. There was no limit to how many you could get.
And would go to school and gripe and complain because the teacher was causing
sure,
kids to have
sure candy. They would. Now, because everybody's politically correct and everybody's like, you know, supposedly health conscious, why they're still eating their yellow dye number seven, you know, or drinking their aspartame diet Pepsi. They tell me you're health conscious because I'm drinking a diet soda. Read the label first and then tell me. Right? Now, I'd be more impressed if you was drinking some natural fruit juice and then said something about, you know, eating healthy. That's what, you know. Save the trees. Wooden stick. Paper sign. Ring a bell?
Yep.
Now, come on, man. I know that I can't be, and you can't be, and Thomas can't be the only people in this world that have that kind of mindset that sees the hypocrisy in holding a wooden stick and a paper sign that says, save the trees. We can't be. Now, if they come out there with a plastic sign, there would be some counter-protest over there talking about the plastic, you know? You got petroleum products. It's going to last in the dump for thousands of years. Well, wait a second. Who said I was throwing my sign in the dump? I'm going to use it for some insulation in my house, or I'm going to save it for in my closet for the next time I go out to protest. Recycled, man. Oh, boy. I tell you, I could find them, man. They're out there. There's the brilliance in every corner of the world. Wait a second, it's not corner, it's a round globe. Flat.
Really?
I don't know. Do you know? Have you been to space? I don't care, though, because that's not one of my problems, whether the Earth is round or whether the Earth is flat. I just know that we live here. And if we are inside of a prison and we're not making the best out of a bad situation, it's kind of like people being their own doggone worst enemies. A homeowners association, you sign up for it and you move into it and you got certain standards. If you decide you want to put a toilet out in front of your house with flowers in it, you know your homeowners association isn't going to allow you to do that. Well, what's the freedom in that? Maybe I want a toilet with flowers in it sitting out. It's funny and it's, redneckish decorative. But I have to conform to whatever system that I choose. You see what I mean?
Yep, I do.
And Stephen said, in defense of the criminals, most are driven to crime by the inequality inherent in the system, which is true, you know. Think about the guys and gals who went and served their time in prison. They got out of prison, and because of their past, suddenly they weren't able to get certain jobs. They weren't able to vote. They weren't able to do things. You know, they already paid for the price for what they did wrong, but yet they're going to be having that hold over their head forever and a day. You know, sometimes people do things so repetitive that they cause themselves like pain. Like if you're a known liar, if you sit there and lie to everybody, you have to remember the last lie you told, because the next one, you know, has to match the last one you told. Personally, I'm not that coordinated, but there are people who are. But if you get the doggone reputation of being a liar, then that's going to follow you throughout your entire life, and nobody's going to believe what you said. It's like the whole boy who cried wolf thing, you know. It was funny because he'd just stand up there on the hill and holler, woof, woof, and everybody came running to his rescue. Well, then eventually they knew he was just pulling their leg or lying. And so when he did holler, woof, woof, they didn't come.
So there was a real wolf.
Yeah. Really was a wolf there that time. See, that's an example that the people in the alternative media should take a lead by, you know, because if you look, every doggone day you get on the internet, there is another doomsday. There's another day that there's a rock coming in to kill us. Aliens are going to invade, or something's going to happen. World War III is going to go. You know, we talk about issues because we're heading down the path to certain destruction, but as far as, you know, hey, there's a big giant rock coming in. Now, unless that big giant rock is verified by, you know, multiple sources, and it's you got the mainstream media saying, folks, we got a problem here. We got to work together because there's a big rock coming in, right? That's the point. And some people have figured out ways to capitalize on doom and gloom. Some folks, believe it or not, they just kind of like to be upset. They just kind of like to be scared. I mean, people don't...
Hey, I can verify what you just said. Some people really, really enjoy doom and gloom. Why else would they sit there 2-3 hours a day, every day, and watch soap operas on TV?
Yep.
I mean, come on. They're not real. Only less than 1% of the people on this earth have anywhere near the problems that they do on soap operas.
You know,
so there are people that love doom and gloom.
You know what the sad thing about that is, Raymond? That while they're watching the soap opera unfold on the doggone TV screen, their life on the outside is a soap opera unfolding right there in their own doggone life, and they're missing out on, you know, ways that they could be in there interacting and resolving this soap opera.
Exactly.
So there ain't an issue under the sun that we couldn't resolve with some common sense. You know what? If we was ever going to try to sell a product here on Shaziz Radio, I would want some sort of big fancy logo that emphasized common sense. You know, you live your life by common sense, or some sort of phrase that wants it's in somebody's head that, you know, when they, like, do something really stupid, I should have listened to what I read on that shirt today.
There you go.
You know, that's... common sense ain't so common anymore. You know, it needs to be. Education needs to be at the front. You know, if we're ever going to advance, I don't want to sit around for the next rest of my life talking about why the world is so jacked up. I'm only frustrated because I know that we got every answer to every question that we need in order to resolve all the issues, including war, climate change, and climate disruption, and so on, whatever's going to be next week, or by whoever's telling the story. We can resolve all these issues.
You know, just thinking about things, I'm this may sound stupid to me, but you know, I'm going to say it anyway. You're walking down the street, something hits you on the head, you reach up and you touch it, so, oh man, it's feels like it. You bring your fingers down and you look at it and say, it looks like it. So you raise your fingers to your nose and you say, dang gone, smells like it. Sure glad I wasn't looking up with my mouth open.
Yeah.
Really.
That's that, you know, people have done things repeatedly. You know, you only got to stick your finger in the fire one time to understand that that's something you really don't want to do again. But you know, if you got guys and gals out there like the dude that Thomas shared a video a while back where this dude shot himself in the face with a Roman candle and talked about
man,
how bad it hurt. I mean, come on, man. First off, I was more angry at his friend standing around allowing him to do that than I was at the stupidity of the man who did it.
Really?
You know, what kind of... Those aren't friends. Somebody who, you have to just be flat out totally, completely, and utterly ignorant to not know that that was not going to end well. And the pain that the kid must have went through after doing that, you know, it could have been avoided by some friend saying, look, you know, if I have to beat you toothless, I'm going to make sure that you don't do that because me beating you toothless is going to be a whole lot less, you know, painful than what you're fixing to do, you idiot.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes you got to slap a little common sense in the knucklehead, otherwise they hurt themselves or somebody else. But for the most part, just by teaching them some kind of, look, if his friend, all his friends should have been standing around there saying, look, let's aim this at a trash can first and you can see what it's going to do to this trash can before you put it to your face, and then you make an educated decision whether or not you want to shoot yourself in the face with a Roman candle. You know?
Now, here's the thing, if you cannot talk him out of it, then you don't beat him up. What you do is you talk him into doing it with a shotgun, not a Roman candle. Because if
he's trying to get him a Darwin Award,
he stands a chance of surviving. And if he survived, he could appropriate and produce more ignorant, stupid a-holes like himself.
No, so I wouldn't take it to that extreme.
Talk him out of it, talk him into doing it right. Check out of the gene pool.
I wouldn't take it to that stream. What I would do is that I would say all of us are going to turn our backs on you, and we're just going to leave you here to your own stupidity and what you have happened to you. That's up to you.
That's it right there. He was doing it for attention. He didn't think it would hurt that bad. He was trying to get attention. If people said, we're not going to pay attention if you do this, he wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. Right. I agree with that.
He's sad. He's lonely. He's wanting attention from his friends. His friends ain't doing for him what he feels he needs. And you know, all that. Like I said, all they had to do was just turn their back on him.
Yeah,
if you want to show what it was going to be like, say, hey, you want to know what this is going to feel like? Okay, hold still. Let me get a rock about the size of that fireball that's about to hit you. Stand still. Whack! Hit him as hard as that thing's going to come flying out of the end. You see how high they shoot up into the air. You just throw a rock about that hard and say, okay, now it's going to be on fire, too.
Okay.
You know?
I tried to talk him out of it, and if he was going to do it regardless, I would just turn my back and walk away.
And that camper should have turned it off.
Is
that stupid? I don't want him to be able to breed.
You know what, though? People like that sometimes serve as a road sign for other people. Now everybody that's seen that video knows better than to try that, even if they didn't know before.
Like, who wouldn't know, right?
Well, hey, you never know, man. It's all about ignorance versus stupidity. But if you know it's going to hurt like crazy, you don't want to be hurt, but you do it anyway, then you're just flat out stupid. He was just ignorant. He didn't know what would happen.
But the point is, something that Thomas said sparked an idea in my brain about this whole situation. The point is that, like, with all these different shows out there where people are doing crazy stuff and they know that these folks are getting all this attention and society wants the attention and you'll get more and more people, you know, risking their safety or other safety just to try to get attention and do something crazy. It's always to try to see who can top the guy before them, get ruder and cruder and more filthy lyrics in the songs. And
body mouth.
Yeah. And so as long as society is standing around like the crowd that watched the guy shoot himself in the face with a deal for entertainment, then there's always going to be somebody willing to do it. And so if you really want to change society, folks, you need to get up and walk away. You need to walk away from the mainstream media. You need to turn the doggone... If you see something offensive on TV, turn the channel, watch something else, or shut the TV off. And when their little rating system starts to recognize, hey, ain't nobody watching during these times. You know?
Maybe I was a little bit too rambunctious about the guy using the shotgun to shoot himself in the face. Maybe just what we want to do... The main thing for me is take him out of the gene pool. So instead of talking him into using the shotgun, just take the Roman candle and put it down his pants. I mean, people would laugh. You want attention? That would make him laugh a lot more, and it would take you out of the gene pool.
Well, I'm just like this. The guy would probably take himself out of the gene pool, so I'm not going to stress over it. But, you know, I'll try to... Yeah, and my heart goes out to the guy. Even the guy that shot himself in the face with a doggone Roman candle. I feel bad for him. I really do. I know he did something stupid, but he's still a human, and I feel bad for him.
That's why he did it, and nobody stopped him, because he didn't have any friends that actually had any empathy for him.
Yeah, and there's another thing we need more of. Right there, what Thomas just said, empathy. You know, if you really cared about people, then you wouldn't do certain things to them, you know? You know, look, there's no, with exception of probably a few, there's no soldiers out there who want to go into battle and kill people. They're not doing it for that, you know. There are probably some people out there, sickos, that, you know, have been raised to see that, you know, war is glorious and, you know, I get to legally kill people and get by with it, you know. Those are the kind of people you don't want in your life. I'm almost to the point where I would agree with Raymond on taking them out of the gene pool, because if they believe that murder is a good thing, then, you know, that's not what I believe in. If you understand what I'm trying to say.
Because that's actually a trait in most cases.
Yeah.
You get women that basically are not allowed to have their husband around, so they because otherwise they can't get a welfare check, and he can't keep a job because the economy is screwed up. Well, she's mad at him because he ain't around, even though it's not his fault that they're making him leave.
Yeah.
And then she has a boy to the guy that she's got to feed and take care of on her own with just a bare scraping by amount of money. They don't give him hardly anything. So now every time she gets frustrated, what does she do? She hates on men, including that little boy, and beats him.
Yeah.
Beats him excessively, so that when he grows up, he's going to be hardened and angry and ready to go out and kill other people.
People do terrible things.
Then they come along and say, hey, we'll give you free education, we'll give you free money, you get to travel the world. All you got to do is go kill these guys we want you to kill.
People do terrible things to one another, so why would any alien race want to come down here and socialize with us, man?
Really?
You know? If they do come down, it'll probably be to straighten us up or take over. You know, it ain't going to be coming down here to be, you know, our friends and stuff like that. They'll come down here and say, hey, yo, we got all this technology and we can save you from global warming, right? But then you're under their law now. What is their law? Is their law what you agree with? You know, Americans aren't going to agree with Russian law or Chinese law or, you know, Canadian law, with the exception of, you know, picking and choosing the ones you like.
You know, think about any life form that had the technology to travel intergalactically, really and truly, in their mentality, they would look at us as if we were like bacteria.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be intelligent like
that. We got nothing to offer but disease.
They'd be so far ahead of us intellectually, we would be looked at as bacteria. Something to be destroyed.
And think about this.
We're not good bacteria. We're harmful bacteria. We fight amongst ourselves.
Think about this. If they got technology to where they can hear our old radio broadcast, by the time our radio broadcast got over to them and they heard the War of the Worlds and the way that it ended up where the aliens died from disease, why would they want to come down here? Because if these aliens didn't fare so well because of disease, or even in Mars Attacks where they had this one particular song that made the Martian's head explode, you know, why would they want to come down here? I mean...
Right. Like I said, they would look at us like we were harmful bacteria.
Yep.
And they would neutralize the planet before they ever came here. If there was a resource on this planet they wanted, they would neutralize our life form on this planet.
Yep. They would get. They would exterminate man before they even step foot on the land.
Exactly.
They'd terraform it right into what they wanted.
Exactly.
So I ain't worried about aliens, so we can take that problem off the deal until we see some show up. But you know, the wars on there, that's something that we really do have to be considered about, because every time you turn around, one of these politicians who's talking about, you know, being tough on terrorism wants to go out and terrorize in order to be able to destroy the terrorist. Now, if you're gonna look, if somebody is in a jihad group over there and that guy over there is using scare tactics to recruit more jihadists, and he's saying the Americans are these evil people and they eat kids and they blow people up and, you know, they just kill us because of who we are. Well, and one little skeptical kid down there is getting ready to join up, but he want to make sure that everything is the way he said it, and next thing you know, his parents get killed in a bombing run with a drone. Suddenly, you know, hey, it's in his face. Americans really are like this. You see what I mean? And folks, for all you folks out there listening in foreign nations, Americans aren't like that. I know so many people in my own neighborhood and other neighborhoods and all over this country who wouldn't want to send their kids over there to kill your kids. There are not, we're not warmongering people. We love people. We want to, every time there's a tragedy, it's not the government who rushes in there. It's the people who bring food and clothing and water over to the people in need, you know. And we would do the same thing for your nation. We do the same thing for your nation. There's people that empty their pockets out every time there's something going on in other nations to send things over there necessary for that. Look it up. It's out there. You know, we're not the best people in the world, but we're definitely not the worst people in the world. We all got problems in all of our societies, and the only way that we're going to resolve these is if we, the people, choose to do so.
That hurricane that hit Katrina, yeah. Do you realize it was private individuals that went down there carrying water, blankets, food, everything? Private individuals jumped in to help 3 weeks before FEMA even showed up.
You want to see a prime example? And I'm trying to remember the exact name of this video. It's got Nicolas Cage in there. And he's basically a gun runner.
All right. Right. Well, Lord of War.
What is it?
Lord of War.
Yeah. And so essentially, in the Lord of War, he literally sells guns to both sides of the fence. All right. That is a perfect example of what's going on in the governments of the world today, is because there's money to be made, there's power to be held. It's not there for freedom and spreading democracy and such. It's there because somebody is going to profit off of any action. Somebody once said that the best way out of a recession or a depression was to go to war, because during war and you get the people rallied together, they open industry and build the war machines. After World War II, the United States was the biggest industrial country in the world. We had factories that would build planes. They actually took factories that were made for other purposes and converted them over to build planes during the war. And you had everybody who had patriotism rushing in to support the war effort, you know. And so you had the country working together for a common goal to stop a common enemy out there. And even after the war was over, and it was, we went into the Cold War, you know, the war that really didn't happen, but kind of happened with Russia, you know. It was the threat of nuclear conflict, the Cold War. You know, we beef up our nukes, they beef up their nukes. But during that time, the propaganda went wild, and everybody was a communist, you know. Now it's everybody's a terrorist. You see, Raymond says this all the time. If you ignore history, you're bound to repeat it. And that's what's going on. We're seeing history repeat itself over and over again. We're seeing the politicians get stronger as far as their political power behind the scenes, as far as their bank accounts and such like that. And it's the average Joe at all times who's footing the bill via taxes or risking their life on the battlefield with somebody else's child. It's as simple as that. You want to stop this thing? You want to turn this world around? Then you got to get up off the couch. You got to get out there in your neighborhoods. You got to educate your friends and your family. Show them the real truth. You know, show them the old history books. Match them up with the new history books. Sit around, have a peaceful debate about it. Find out who was behind the scenes of writing these books. Know what your kids are being taught in school. Know what you agree with or disagree with. And if you disagree with the public schools, they got private schools. If you can't afford a private school, then homeschool. It's all dependent on what you're willing to accept as how much they can get by with when they're doing it to you and your family. It's as simple as that. Does either one of you disagree with that?
I don't disagree with it.
You know, common sense, man. Yeah, I say common sense. But as it's coming out of my mouth, it just sounds like the tooth fairy or the unicorn or the, you know, Bigfoot or the UFO. It's almost like taboo to say the word common sense in the structure of society that we find ourselves at the mercy of. You know, it's crazy. Don't pick up the hitchhiker. He might be a mass murderer. You know, don't go down to the different colored people's neighborhood, because they'll kill you. They'll steal from you. They'll rob from you. Or they'll whatever. They'll rape you. You know?
You know, you hear about people who tell them, don't pick up hitchhikers. It could be a mass murderer, or it could be a pervert of some kind or whatever. And actually, the biggest single threat of picking up hitchhikers is, why is he hitchhiking? Because he's homeless and he needs a free ride? Well, duh, he could have cooties. Crabs, scabies, or something.
Yeah, they might jump off on your neck, man. And I've seen some of the movies where those cooties will eat you alive.
They can, if you don't control.
Well, you know, it's still the same thing. It might be you. It might be you that's broke down. And you're riding down the road, and other people, you'd be surprised at the feeling that you got in your gut when you're broke down and you don't have the money or a cell phone on you and you can't call nobody. When people are driving down the road past you, the feeling that you get that they're looking down on you like you're the homeless guy. You're the bum. You're the potential killer or something like that. You might be all dirty because you just got to trying to work on your car on the side of the road and look all scruffy, and suddenly somebody looks at you like, Man, now look at that filthy character, you know. He doesn't know you. He doesn't know that Raymond has his own business and has a lot of employees that he takes care of and does nice things for, you know, that he's a wonderful around holidays and a good friend to have and a jam. You know, they don't know that. All they know is they've seen this dirty-looking guy walking down the doggone road, which they didn't pay attention to when they were coming down that road, that there was this really beautiful-looking truck sitting back there.
Right.
You know, that they couldn't afford. You know, there's a saying out there, don't judge a book by its cover. You know, that homeless guy sitting on the road may really be hungry, you know? And even if he's just thirsty for a beer, so what? That might be the only comfort he gets. And maybe he's the laziest doggone bum on the planet, but so what, man? He's a human, you know? He may be a jerk, a foul-mouthed heathen, somebody you wouldn't want to introduce to your mom or take to church. Maybe he needs to sit in a church or something. I don't know. But all I can say is that, you know, even the hardened criminals in prison get fed, you know.
Right.
So, if you're going to feed the murderer in prison, why not feed the drunk on the side of the road? You know,
you got a point there.
Yeah.
You're going to house and feed a criminal that just mugged about 15 or 20 people before they caught him.
Yeah.
And you're going to house him and feed him?
You think they should
give him a fair wage if he does work?
Yeah.
You pass the homeless guy up.
You think the child rapist doesn't get access to the commissary in the prison? You think the child rapist doesn't get a decent meal? You think the child rapist doesn't have a blanket and a pillow and a bed to sleep on? You know, by God, if you think America is so bad, come over here one night. Spend one night in prison and see. Even though you're locked up in that prison, you still got the comforts of home. You got a toilet that you can use. You got running water. You got a bed. You got blankets. And there are some places, when you go to prison, you ain't got no bed. You ain't got no blanket. If you got heat, you're doing good. If you get any kind of slop thrown in at you, you're lucky. There are some prisons in this world that you wouldn't want to go to. There's some prisons in Mexico that you wouldn't want to go to.
That sheriff in Arizona that closed all the prisons and opened up his own prison out in the desert.
Yeah, made him wear pink.
A lot of reporters went in and interviewed him, and they said, well, you don't have this, and you don't have that. And they were downing him because the prisoners didn't have air conditioning, and they were in the desert. They were downing him because the prisoners, if they didn't get out and garden their own plot of land that he gave them, then they didn't eat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he dressed them all in pink jumpsuits with pink tennis shoes.
Yeah.
So that if they did escape, they could spot them real easy in the desert. But yet he would tell the prisoners that if you escape, we're not going to spend a lot of money looking for you. We're just going to wait for the buzzards in the sky to circle above your body so that we can go out there and find you and cover you up. We're not even going to bother bringing you back. And all these reporters were really downing him bad and talking about what the other prisoners, I mean, other prisons in other states had. They had air conditioning. They had exercise yards where the guys could go out and lift weights and exercise and carry on. And you don't have this and you don't have that. And he looked at him at the end of the interview and said, you know what? We have something that no other prison in the entire United States has. And they said, what is that? He said, no repeat customers.
That's right.
He said, when they leave here, they go straight or they leave the state and we don't care which choice they make.
Yep. You ask any prisoner from any place like that, or any prisoner for any place that from any other prison in any other state, whether they'd rather be in prison in the U.S. or Mexico or China or Russia, what do you think they're going to choose? So, you know, for all those folks out there who think that America is full of a bunch of warmongering demons that, you know, don't have any empathy for people, if we treat our prisoners the way that we treat our prisoners, as opposed to the way you treat yours. You know, there's a, I think it's a Chinese proverb said something about he who lives in glass house should not throw stones.
No joke.
I'm just saying, man, you know, I know America's got problems. And the world's got problems. But there ain't problems that we can't solve, you know. If you got the homeless guy out there, maybe you go sit down with him, bring him a lunch and share a meal with him and talk to him. Maybe he chose to be homeless because society just, he didn't agree with it. He just rather just walk around and beg for food or whatever he can get, you know, instead of having to deal with the everyday grind that all these people out here have to deal with. Because if you think that owning your own business or even working for somebody else and having to get up every day at a certain time is as pleasant as it sounds, Raymond, I know you own a business, so I know that you got stress that the average worker that you got don't have, because you got not just your own finances to consider, but you also got their health and safety as well. And so being a business owner isn't as beautiful as it sounds. I mean, for you personally, it is a good thing because you'd rather work for yourself than somebody else. But for somebody else on the other side who's used to working, they couldn't do your job.
You know, we've talked about this before, about me being the owner and this, that, and the other. Owning your own business that actually employs other human beings, you're not your own boss. You are actually, if you are a good boss, you are actually a servant.
Yep.
If you're a good king, you are actually a servant to your people.
Amen,
if you're
brother.
A good president, then you are actually a servant. That when you go in to be president of the United States and you don't have the people's interest in your heart, then you're a bad king. You're a bad president.
Yep. That's the way. I wish that the more politicians would listen to this show.
All right.
I wish that people before they got elected would actually sit down and listen to a Knights of the Round Table and read comments like Stephen and Jermaine and all the other people out there that always put in the chat rooms, you know, because then they'd actually see that this is what the average Joe really believes. You know, we don't know what the truth is coming out of the mainstream media because their track record stinks. And when you get a reputation like that,
if you're a bad king and you don't look out for your people, then the people start dying off or leave. Now all of a sudden you're a bad king of nothing.
Do you know in the old days during battle, it would be the commanders who would rush in first. They'd lead the charge.
Follow me.
Do you know in the new day of the battle, the commanders aren't even on the battlefield?
Lord, no. They're miles away.
They went from being in the front of the line to the middle of the line to the back of the line to sitting in the office and talking on the radio. Yeah, go in there. Rush in there and get them, you know. And they're not.
Hold your ground at all costs.
Meanwhile, they're yelling to one of their people to say, go get me a cup of coffee, you know. This battle's getting intense. So he's not even breaking a sweat. He's got somebody shaking down his coffee, and, you know, that's the way war works nowadays.
I'm the general. I can't sacrifice my men. I've got to stay right here in front of this monitor. You go get me a cup of coffee.
Yeah, and take an example from the government. They talk about there's a terminology called continuity of government. We've always got to maintain continuity of government. You know what that means? That means they get taken care of before the people get taken care of.
Right.
That means the president has armed guards that rush him into a bunker to keep him safe from any potential harm so that they can maintain continuity of government. They're not rushing into a bunker with your family to protect you as the servant. No, they're rushing the men up at the White House and Congress and the Senate. They're rushing them into the bunker. Because we got to maintain government control after the apocalypse. Meanwhile, guess who's out there in the midst of the apocalypse? It's the average Joe, the one who paid the salaries of all the ones who's sitting down in the bunker who didn't get on the ark, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, if your leaders are rushing into the bunker while you're out there in the midst of the apocalypse, that should be a first red flag for you. You know? Because if your leader ain't saying, look, I'm sorry, we can't do nothing about this meteor, but if you're going down, I'm going down with you, brother. See? That's the deal, man. You know who you can trust, because they're the ones standing by you in the worst part of the time. You know, they're not the ones trying to take all what you got and then move. You know, they got National Defense Authorization Act, they got the Patriot Act, and they got basically laws put into place for the worst type of scenario. They can come in and steal your house right out from under you. Right? They can take your food, they can take your ammunition, they can take whatever you got. So all that stuff you stocked up just become an asset to the government whenever things get out of hand. They'll come in by force, take everything you got, tell you to shut up and move on down to this little FEMA camp, and we'll take care of you down there. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know, in the old days, like during the Civil War, and they had soldiers was going to come buck up in your house, you know, there were people that would, okay, look, hey, you guys need a night, a place to sleep? Well, you're welcome. There's a guest room, or worst case, you can sleep out in a barn, you know. And the people offered to help the soldiers, all right? Well, now it ain't an offer. It's mandatory. No matter what, you've got to help these individuals. Regardless of whether they're going to abuse you and rob from you, whatever, you don't know. Somebody in worst case scenario come up in a uniform, whether or not they're really part of the military or not. Sometimes I look out at this world and I am so shocked. I'm not shocked by what I'm seeing in the world as much as I'm shocked by the overall ignorance of what I'm seeing in the world. You know, common sense, like I said, ain't so common anymore. And when people sit there and talk about how much they hate their government, and they go out there and they protest their government, and their government puts them in jail or pepper sprays them, you know, or, you know, whatever, does all kinds of stuff to them, your protest was just that, nothing. It wasn't nothing. Yeah, you didn't win nothing. You got a little bit of news media on there who in turn made a lot of money off you out there doing that. You got abused by the same government you were protesting, and when it was all said and done, do you think there's repeated protests? Do you think that the first protest solved it, and, you know, Martin Luther King going down and the deal made everything right, and they had the big parade and all that, and they turned around and murdered that man for his protest? And you want to give up your Second Amendment? Seriously? Why would you do that? Why would you walk up in the cave with the wolf who's offering to have dinner with you? And turns out you're on the menu. I know I sound like I'm rambling, and I know I sound like I'm repeating myself, but the words that should be repeated over and over is common sense. You don't shoot yourself in the face with a doggone Roman candle. You don't do it. And if you got friends encouraging you to do it, they're not your friends. They're just somebody who wants to see some stupid guy shoot himself in the face. That's sick. When in reality, they should have been over there yanking that out of his hands and making sure that he didn't harm himself. If necessary, drag him all the way to Looney House and say, look, you got to help this guy out because he's trying to shoot himself in the face with a Roman candle. You don't sit there and encourage the guy standing on the side of the bridge to jump. And essentially that's what that guy with the Roman candle in his head was trying to do. He wanted the attention. He was going to get the attention. But he's going to die trying. You understand what I'm trying to say here, folks? If you can't have empathy for one another, if you can't have common sense and if you can't pay attention to your surroundings, you're going to see this stuff happen all the time, more and more frequently. Copycat shooters or copycat jerks. There's a deal going around about clowns now. Killer clowns showing up in parks. And it's been put on the media. Now, half the people you ask, it's a hoax for a movie coming up. The other people are like, it's copycats out there trying to, you know, get attention by scaring people and stuff like that. And there are folks out there wanting to take selfies with clowns that they see in the park. Can you believe that? Seriously, you see a clown in the park, you just heard on the news that these clowns are out killing people, snatching kids. Oh, let me take a selfie and I'll post this on Facebook for the CIA to see. Really? Sometimes I feel like I'm that alien from outer space who shouldn't have came here.
Really?
Do you ever feel like that?
Yep.
You know, it's crazy. You know, when I was younger, I used to like to play cowboys and Indians, right? We used to dress up like little cowboy gunslingers, you know. We had a little cowboy hat and our cap guns, and my cousin would have a little bow and arrow with a plunger on the end of it, you know, and we replicated what we saw in the movies, you know. The Indian was the bad guy, or the cowboy was the bad guy, or sometimes they both worked together, because we saw it in like the Lone Ranger where Tonto and the Ranger went around and they fought the bad guys on both sides of the pit. So if we did this as children and we replicated what we saw on TV, whether it's right or political or correct or whatever, this is how, when I was a child, we saw things on TV. We played Army Man, we played Cowboy and Indian, and we run around with our little cap guns, and people died, but they didn't die, you know. Sometimes it was a dramatic death that would take about a half an hour before somebody finally, are you dead yet?
There was a time when the Lone Ranger and Tonto were heading west across the Great Plains, yeah. And all of a sudden, there come about 500 Indians charging straight at them. So they turn around and ran to the east. Well, they didn't run more than 100 yards, and here come 1,000 Indians charging at them. Well, they turned south, and they didn't go 50 feet, and there was 1,500 Indians come charging at them. So they turned north. And next thing you know, there was 2,000 Indians charging them from the north. And they stopped. And the Lone Ranger looked at Tonto and said, what are we going to do? We're surrounded by Indians. What are we going to do? And Tonto looked at the Lone Ranger and says, what do you mean we, white man?
Huh.
Choose your friends close, but carefully, huh?
Well, I
always got to, things get real serious, I have to put in a little joke.
Well, the thing is that now the movies that you see on TV and even the cartoons that you see on TV, they're educational whether you want to believe that they're educational or not, because they're teaching people things, you know?
Right.
And so if you're putting things on there about witchcraft and magic wands and stuff like that, you got to expect that the kids are going to play witches and magic wands and stuff like that. Or Army Man. But nowadays, Army Man's a little different than it was back in the other days, because from when I was a kid playing cowboys and Indians, and then, all the other newer videos about Vietnam and stuff like that came out, that now they got, like, these machine guns and, you know, tanks and stuff like that, and, you know, and it just got more intense. The older I got, the more I watched as they tried to, take cowboy and Indians all the way up to the Rambo, where he's rushing in there, you know, cutting throats and doing all kinds of stuff, you know. Things that you wouldn't want your kids to actually do is what they portray, because that's what they saw. You see what I mean?
Yep.
So responsibility in what you're watching and what your kids are watching. If you're a foul-mouthed heathen cussing all day long at your wife, and your wife is cussing back at you, and then you're surprised that when your 2-year-old or 3-year-old says something filthy in public, well, where'd they get it?
Yeah, really. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it?
Yeah. So that's a bit of common sense, but it's a problem. It is a problem that can be resolved. All of these issues that we've talked about here today are problems that can be resolved by the average Joe. If you want to put your faith in the government, then you need to stop complaining about your government and hold their feet to the fire when they make a promise and they say that they're going to do certain things, then you hold them to it. You know? My grandfather used to say a man's word is like gold, and if you ever lose your word, it's almost impossible to get it back.
You know, what you just said is very, very true. Actually, there is nothing that you own except your word that cannot be taken from you. Your home, taken from you. Burnt down, boiled up, confiscated, whatever.
Yep.
Your wife can be killed. Your children kidnapped and sold into slavery. Nothing you own cannot be taken away from you except your word. You make a promise, you don't keep it, you and you alone destroyed your word.
Yeah. And there's something to be said about the power of the spoken word. You know, the honest man, the humble man, the respectful man that goes out there and explains their grievance or suggestion or whatever in a respectful manner that other people out there can hear. You know, it's like this.
The spoken word. Think about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
A little man walking on the face of this earth. Yeah. He could actually, not contaminated, but affected the lives of billions of people over several hundred years.
Thousands of years.
What about Hitler? He almost single-handedly, with words, caused an entire country to hate certain people and go to war, to actually initiate war, to invade peaceful countries. I mean, come on, man. The spoken word is much mightier than a gun.
That's right. And if you can wield that spoken word, the sword of the spoken word out there, if you can wield it in a peaceful manner, get your point across. You know, that's why here
that's
on Shazoo's Radio,
right there on the Knights of the Round Table, we're speaking out.
Yep. That's why here on Shazoo's Radio and the Knights of the Round Table and the Mad Science Show, that we don't allow people to come on here cursing. You know, it's not that we're trying to censor people. It's that your argument's going to be a whole lot more powerful if it's delivered in a respectful manner. You know, it's a respect thing for our audience. It's a respect thing for one another. It's a respect thing for any potential age group that might actually be listening. And so
you're right about what you just said a minute ago. If you use foul language, I mean, blatantly, way too much, all of a sudden, people can't siphon through all that garbage to actually get what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
So, profanity is the efforts of a sin-sick mind trying to express itself forcefully. And when you try to force somebody, the next thing you know, you're going to have a rebellion on your hands.
You know,
you're talking to a crowd and you're using foul language. F this, F that, BS this, BS that. I mean, duh, you're losing people's attention. If you really want to say something, leave the profanity out and speak clearly. Pronounce each and every word, each and every syllable.
Yeah, because there's another thing, not just the fact that your word is like gold. It's that your respect is just the same. When you lose your respect for yourself and you lose your respect for others, it's almost impossible to get it back. Somebody was offended in the process of somebody's respect being lost.
and they're not going to listen to you. Yep. And if they do listen to you, it's going to be with negative ears.
Yep. Yeah, or skepticism. You know, this guy's a real jerk. Why should I listen to him?
Exactly.
You know? Politician coming out saying one word on one side of the fence, and then when they get in another crowd saying something completely contrary to say whatever they can say to get elected, why should I vote for that person? They just said two separate things about the same subject. I am for abortion or I ain't for abortion. Which is it? You know, I want to know where you truly stand. If you flip-flopping on there, I can't respect you because you don't respect yourself enough to come out and say it is what you really believe. Because if you do, then I might not vote for you. You know? I think it, in my mind it's simple, and in your mind it's simple. I'm sure that Thomas agrees, but look, we got to do something, folks. There are problems in the world, but we're not beyond hope. And we never have been beyond hope. Throughout the entirety of society, there was always peacemakers out there. My good book said, blessed be the peacemakers, for the meek shall inherit the earth. What's that mean? The meek, does that mean they're weak? No, that means they're humble. That means that they're respectful. That means that they're men and women of their word. They're the ones going to inherit the earth. Maybe it's not the earth that they want to inherit, because by the time that all the knuckleheads done blow everything up and made a mess of everything, it's going to take a lot of house cleaning in order to get things back in order. But hopefully, when you got those folks that are the only ones that are left over, then they'll understand that this happened in the past. You know, there's movies out there where societies were war-torn so badly and so many terrible things had happened that they finally come to the realization that we can't do this anymore. We can't keep killing each other and not expect to have more enemies on the way. I told this example a long time ago about a doggone two little girls talking to a news reporter. The news reporter asked them, do you ever want peace with Israel? And those little girls, as young as they were smart enough to say, no, we never want peace with Israel. We hate Israel. They killed our mommy and daddy. Now, you can imagine that on the other side of the fence, there's probably two more little girls on the Israel side of the fence that would say the exact same thing. And those are the future fighters of the world. You know, somebody said how valuable our children are, and they weren't understating how valuable our children are. Because our children are the future. And if you don't care enough right now to try to guide them in a manner in which they're going to be raised with the morals that you were raised in, being respectful and honest with one another, then the society you leave behind, your legacy, will be the mess that they're going to have to contend with. I said this in my little deal about the Dream 2, and I might play that on the way out sometime today, but we right now are the founding fathers, the mothers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, whatever, of our children and our children's future. And the words that come out of our mouth, the actions, the things that we say and do will definitely, without a doubt, affect the world that they live in tomorrow. And we've seen what happened now, so far. We're living it. We've seen what was allowed to go on. We've seen the wars. And if we haven't learned our lesson by now, then God help us all. And God help our children. Because if they got to live in a world worse than what we live in today, folks, we got it made, literally, compared to what they'll have. If they have to suffer through a World War III, run around picking and scrounging for whatever it is that isn't toxic or radiated, imagine yourself living in that. You think you got something to complain about now? You better think again. I don't know what more to say, man.
I think we just about said it all.
Yep, well, preaching to the choir is one thing. But preaching to people who are waking up and got common sense and are self-educated and understand, you know, that's a different story, because those folks have the power to motivate. Those folks have the power to sit down and write an article about what they heard a couple, two or three men saying on a program out there on the internet. And if somebody else respects them, then they read that, and they might even just pass that on, and the word could travel. That's one thing that's amazing about the power of the spoken word, and the power of your actions, and the power of the pen. These podcasts, they go up there. They'll be up there. They're immortalized out there in the digital realm for eternity. As long as there's a digital realm, there will be the Knights of the Round Table. We have already set our words in stone. And so, those words will travel. Some people will hear them and disagree. Some people will hear them and agree, and they'll pass that word on. But nonetheless, we've done several hundred shows of the Knights of the Round Table. And those podcasts are available for you. You can go back and hear what we said back then, and you can hear what we said now. We ain't changed our stance. In these words, out there in the digital realm, we're paving stones that one day somebody's going to look back and they'll say, you know what? There's some pretty brilliant individuals back there during that time. Somebody should have listened. We'd be a lot better off than what we are now. I would like everybody out there to visualize just one time walking into a store or a friend's house or a neighbor or somebody with a big smile on your face, and no matter what they say and no matter what they do, you don't say or do anything. You just keep on smiling. Alright? And then imagine yourself having the capability to literally follow that smile to see how far it goes.
You know, smiles are contagious.
Yeah. Imagine that smile, it gets on a train, or gets in a car, then it gets on a train, then it gets on a plane, it goes to a foreign nation, and that smile makes it to some ruthless leader's face who was going to go out and whack some people, but now for some reason he feels too good to go out and whack people. You know, you wait till tomorrow to be a jerk. That's the power that you got, each and every one of you out there. And every time you allow somebody to take their own life, you lose a bit of that power as humanity. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
I hope the folks listening understand that. And I hope that folks that listening would rather put a smile on somebody's face than some anger in somebody's heart. We got problems. We got big problems. But it ain't something can't resolve.
City.
Huh?
And you said, we got problems. I said, right here in River City.
Yeah. You don't have to go to Dodge City to find problems. Check out River City. I just think that I'm going to keep shouting these words as long as I have a platform to shout them out. And I'm going to keep offering the microphone to people who want to come here and do the same. I'm going to keep offering the platform as long as I can physically possibly do it. And a lot of folks will sit there and they'll say something like, well, you know, what good's it do talking about it? All you all ever do is talk about it. What do you do? What is it that you physically do to make the world a better place? Well, in my personal life, when I go down the road, I saw a man on the side of the road one day with a sign. I didn't read his sign. You know, I could tell that he was trying to get some money to do something. I didn't know what it was. I had some change in my pocket. It was on my heart. I couldn't reach my hand in my pocket and hand that money out to him fast enough. I gave it to him. I told him to have a wonderful day, and I went on down the road. I didn't stick around long enough for him to say thank you or get any kind of reward for it. My reward came from how I felt whenever I got down the road, because I knew that there was somebody that didn't even know me, that didn't even have to say thank you. I was done gone.
Who was that past man?
Yeah. So, I paid for people's meals in line. You know, that they didn't know where it came from. I saw an elderly couple sitting there praying. I didn't know. They might have been the richest elderly couple in the town. All I knew is I saw them sitting down there praying, and I told my daughter, I said, "You want to see something really cool?" And she said, "What's that, Dad?" And I told her, I said, "Watch this." I called the waitress over there, who in turn recruited a waiter, and I told him, I said, "You see that family over there? I said, I want to pay for their meal, but I do not want them to know where it came from, and I don't want you to do this until my daughter and I leave this room." And they set it up. And when we got out to the car, my daughter's like, "Well, what just happened?" And I said, "Well, you got me and you got you. We just had lunch together. You got a waitress and a waiter, man and a woman, and you got an elderly couple over there who was having dinner. Six people's lives with one single action and a little bit of cash were affected in one shot. Because now that family over there who may or may not have needed that extra money to buy medicine or fuel for their vehicle, or just have it warming in their heart that some total stranger for no apparent reason just dropped off and paid for their money for no personal gain other than the feeling of doing something right, and the waitress and the waiter who saw that action and knew that, you know, maybe those waiter and the waitresses were having a bad day and they were down on the world because they think that everybody's jerks because they've been treated by other customers like trash because their food didn't come in time or it was like slightly not cooked or whatever, but they were the forefront. They took the brunt of these people who were angry because they didn't get what they wanted when they got it, and they were down on people in the world. But now there was two strangers that did something just totally out of the ordinary, trying to just help people out, and they got to be part of that. Now their faith is restored in people in the world, knowing that the whole world ain't bad. Raymond, you should have seen the look on my daughter's face. It was priceless. And that was worth the whole entire deal. That's what I do, folks. I do that in my private life. I do that in my public life. Because that's what I believe in. So it's not just words here on ShazizRadio.com. It is actions. We do what we can. We say what we can say. We point out common sense. We point out problems. We point out solutions. That's what we do. It's because we believe that if we don't, then nothing's getting done. And if you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done. If you do something, then at the very least, something gets done. We got projects that we work in alternative energy that we do on the side that you guys don't know about. And we come on the shows and we share ideas with you, some of which we haven't shared with you because we're trying to work things around to where we can financially support ourselves without having to reach our hand out and ask you for a penny. Just to show you that it can be done. I think that if I was coming along and I stumbled onto this website, I would want to tell my friends about it. Because I feel like I believe in what Raymond's doing. I believe in what Thomas is doing. I believe in what Stephen in the chat room does. I believe in what all the listeners do. The mere fact that you stick around to hear what we got to say. You folks out there are what make the show. We just deliver our message and we offer you a microphone to deliver your message. We offer you the opportunity to take something that's already inside of you and do what me and my daughter did for that elderly couple out there in our lives. Could you imagine if one day everybody went out and there were intentions to make sure that everybody had a free meal on them? The implications are mind-boggling. If everybody who went to the restaurant was intending on not only paying for their own meal, but paying for somebody else's meal after it's all said and done, you and everybody else in that room just bought each other's dinner for them just to show your love and concern for one another. And so many people would walk up out of that doggone deal being, you know, is the difference between being fed physically as opposed to being fed spiritually. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Because if you feed each other spiritually by helping each other out without any kind of want or return outside of the feeling that you get for doing something cool, something right, that's the power that you got available to you. It's hard for somebody to be a jerk to somebody who's got a huge smile on their face and is nothing but respectful, no matter what's said or done. I dare one person to stand up to the microphone and tell me that we're wrong. How many wars were started with love?
Really?
Oh, you love me too much. We gotta go to the battlefield, Raymond.
Yeah, really.
Doggone it. Choose your weapon. 6-pack of beer and some fishing poles and a sack lunch. What do you think? That's how we're going to battle.
I started a war with you when I was down there with you, daggone it, but you wouldn't fight. I kept wrapping my arms around you and kissing you on the neck.
Well,
all you did was laugh.
While we're out there at the fishing hole with our 6-pack of beer and our sack lunch, it's going to be a war because I'm going to be telling you I'm catching the biggest fish.
Yeah, and I'm wondering here, we got this 6-pack going. What are you going to drink?
Oh, well, I got some. I guess I'll have to drink some pond water or something.
Well, if we go on the fishing, we take a 6-pack. I'm just wondering, what are you going to drink?
Well, I got a feeling that if we went on a fishing trip, it'd be a buffet, you know, because between what you grabbed and what I grabbed and what you forgot and what I forgot, we'd be all right.
Oh, heck yeah. You know that.
I just, man, ladies and gentlemen, share these podcasts. Share what you got with one another out there. You want to fix this world? Then my God, open your mouths and open your hearts. And guide your actions with common sense. Ain't no reason for people to die on the battlefield. Ain't no reason for people to starve and do without. You let your heart guide your life, and you're going to find out that you're going to have a hard road. You really are. Because it's not easy. It's not easy to give until you can't give anymore. But by God, if you look back after that journey and you can tell me one incident where you weren't taken care of by something or someone out there, we've all traveled some roads. But somehow or another, we able to live to get here. We didn't have to steal our way to Shaziz Radio. We were guided. And that's where my heart stands, and that's what I believe. We're not here by accident. We don't do what we do by accident. our agenda here, which we have an agenda here, is to try to make this world better than what we had to tolerate. We're doing what we can. Do what you can. Share these podcasts with somebody. Bring a friend to the chat room. The happiest day in my life is going to be the day that that chat room is so full that it locks up and closes down.
That would be cool.
We'll have to get a bigger chat room. But to tell the day that that chat room is beyond its capacity, until the day that we ain't got no more words to say, we're going to be here. At least I am. What about you guys?
Yep. I'm with you on that one.
You know, when life throws me a curveball and I got to go out and help somebody else out, that's where I was. Every time there's a show and there's something going on and I'm not here, that's because I'm out doing something for somebody.
If life gives you lemons, make lemonade.
Yep. There's some family, some older folks that got enough firewood to last them through the entire winter now because me and my wife went out and we pitched in.
Yep. When life throws you a bunch of crap, compost it.
Yeah, make
roast
some
vegetables.
Heat your water with it.
You're right.
You want a deterrent? Throw some compost at the burglar.
There you go.
Oh man, I tell you, sometimes you know these shows can really hit home. I've seen things in my life, some things that no man or woman should ever have to see. And for that, I'm out here shouting all four points of the compass, trying to make something better of the world. Because I don't believe that all hope is lost. Until we ain't got a breath, until we can't pick up a pen or open our mouth and shout it to all four points of the compass, I still think we got hope. Because I know that inside of every person beats a heart that has the potential to be either dark or light. That's the spiritual meal that you can help feed somebody, the smile on your face or the kind words that come out of your mouth. As far as I'm concerned, I think that's kind of like what the guy in my good book was talking about. Doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm smart enough to realize that on the road that we're at right now, we're standing at a crossroads of technology and society that we could actually do something to change it all. The politicians ain't gonna do it. The bankers and the power people out there. And you know something? There's a lot of things in this world that cost a lot of money, and you can't afford it. But you show me one bill, that has to do with being charged for giving away some true love. I'll pay it. Show me the bill. Anybody out there has ever been charged for love, and I ain't talking about, I know there's a knucklehead out there going to think it. I'm not talking about going out to the house of ill repute. I'm talking about the love from your heart. It's never ending, no matter how much you give it. You just don't seem to run out. Show me a bill. I'll pay it, personally, out of my own pocket, out of my own heart. What do you think, Raymond?
I think you're right, and I agree with you completely.
Well, there's a tell.
Smiles are contagious. Frowns are contagious.
Oh, yeah. Negativity breeds negativity, and positivity breeds positivity.
Exactly. Somebody looks at you and frowns, you need to stop and think right then, do I want a deep frown or do I want a smile?
Yeah.
And a frown is nothing more than a smile turned upside down, correct?
Yep.
Got it.
Somebody said it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile.
Over 250 more muscles to frown than it does to smile.
Which could explain why after you're sad, you're really tired.
Really? Think about that a minute. Well, I mean, that is profound, what you just said. When you get upset and you frown and you frown, after a while you get so tired, you just can't do anything anymore. Nothing positive. Because you're too tired. Turn your frown upside down.
Hey, what is it, like 300 muscles to frown, 56 muscles to smile?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Two muscles to reach up and slap somebody who's being a jerk.
Yeah.
Right.
Boy, I knew when Thomas come in there, it was going to be a good one.
There you go.
Oh, man, I'm looking for a song here so we can take a coffee break, man.
Yeah.
But I want a specific song.
One Tin Soldier Ride the Wave.
Well, I'll find that one too. I know you really like that one, but
I love that song because it explains everything.
I'll throw that one in there too. And the one that I'm looking for is a little bit more simplistic.
Simplistic. Yeah. You can't get much more simplistic than hate and greed causes war.
Let's see, One Tin Soldier. I gotta find that one. You know what the problem with having too many songs in your doggone deal?
Not having them in alphabetical order.
Yeah, there it is right there. I found it. Now, Thomas, Raymond got a song. Do you want a song?
What? For the break?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Maybe we could fly.
Oh, I know which one he wants. Okay. let's see. Where is it at? I found it. I found it. Should I give a spoiler to it?
I don't care.
Do. Am I right?
Yeah. You can fly like the Snoopy?
Yep. I'm going to fly like the wind.
Fly like the beagle.
I'm going to fly like the wind to the coffee pot. and the bathroom first.
Oh, so you're going to run so fast for that coffee, you're going to break wind, huh?
Probably. All right, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. When we get back, we'll finish off our words of wisdom, and hopefully you'll share them with your friends and family. And we need to have some sort of deal where we have people invite their friends to come join them in the chat room, man. Because I'd like to see that thing crash one day from too many people being in it. All right, there we go. Stay tuned, people. We're going to play a couple tunes. The first one, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Simple Man. Listen to the lyrics. Then listen to the lyrics of Raymond's 110 Soldier and Thomas's lyrics of Fly Like an Eagle.
Thank you. Children to a story that was written long ago, about a kingdom on a mountain and the valley folk below. On the mountain was a treasure buried deep beneath a stone, and the valley people swore they'd have it for their very own. Go ahead and hate your neighbor, go ahead and cheat a friend, living in the name of heaven, justified in the end. Once the end of trumpets blowing, come the judgment day, on the bloody morning after, one tin soldier rides away. Of the valley sent a message up the hill, asking for the buried treasure, tons of gold for which they'd kill. Came an answer from the kingdom, with our brothers we will share all the secrets of our mountains, all the riches buried there. Go ahead and hate your neighbor, go ahead and cheat a friend, tell it in the name of heaven, you can justify it in the end. Won't be any trumpets blowing, come the judgment day, on the bloody morning after, one tin soldier rides away.
In slipping, slipping into the future.
Keep on slipping into the future, and that's one of the things that really you find humbling at a certain point, because you know the average lifespan isn't forever. Then that means that every minute out there, every second counts there as far as what you're going to accomplish in your lifetime. You know, it's not always easy to do the right thing, but one thing that stands true, it's always good to do the right thing. It's always worth it in the end to do the right thing. You know, some folks might disagree. You know, they tried to do the right thing, something went terribly wrong. You know, but in reality, had they not even made the attempt, you know, the opposite side of the spectrum, things didn't go so well because nobody stood up, nobody said nothing. There's a deal out there where it talks about, you know, they came for the yellow man and you said nothing. They came for the brown man and you said nothing. They go all the way down the list, and then they finally came for you, and there wasn't nobody to stand up for you either. And so while I paraphrased and really made a mess out of that, the fact remains, you got neighbors out there, that some of which you probably don't even know, some of which you don't want to know. But until you get out there and know them, until you get out there and find out, you know, what kind of neighbors you got and what kind of things that they need or you need or whatever, you never know where your allies stand. In worst case scenario, you don't know if your neighbor can be trusted or not trusted. But wouldn't it be nice to know? Wouldn't it be nice to develop a relationship with your friends and your neighbors around you that is worse case scenario, y'all had one thing in common, that you'd take care of each other?
You know, Shazif.
Yeah.
What you just said brought it to my mind. What if any person, won a lottery, but the lottery came with rules? Rule number one, every morning when you woke up, you would find that there was $5,184,000 deposited in your checking account every morning. But stipulation is, any of the money that you did not spend that day would go back. It would disappear. But yet, the very next morning, it would be the same amount. $5,184,000 would be deposited in your account. And this would go on for the rest of your life, except for one thing. It could stop at any top point, and you don't know when. What would you do with the money?
I tell you one thing's for sure. I would have a heyday. There would be a secret Santa of epic proportions, because I'd find it. I'd hire people to find them, to go out and find families in need, and I would hand that money over hand over fist as fast as I could empty that bank account out every single day. You know, if I could get it done by noon, I'd be having a party by, you know, in the evening or whatever.
So, in other words, you would use it to the greater good.
Yep.
Okay, now, here's the thing. Every human being on this earth has won a lottery simply by being born.
Yeah.
And it's not dollars, it's seconds.
Yep.
There are 5,184,000 seconds in a 24-hour day. What are you going to do with them? If you don't spend them, if you don't use them, they're gone. Because the next morning, that bank account is empty.
Yeah, it's wasted time.
But the fact that you woke up, you have 5,184,000 seconds to look forward to do anything you want, good or bad. So every second you sit around saying, woe is me, is wasted time that you will never, ever get back. Because at the end of the day, they're gone. They're totally gone.
And that is one of the things I like the most about you is the brilliance. You know, that example is, you can't get back yesterday, folks. We can't do nothing about the day before that, but we could learn from all of the mistakes that were made in the past, and we can try to strive for a better future. Tomorrow's a new day. You get a brand new fresh slate, brand new bank account, like Raymond explained.
Except for one thing. What if you don't wake up tomorrow?
Well, then all of what you've done right now is pretty much all of what you've done.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't know if tomorrow is coming or not. All you can do is hope it will and plan for it and do today to improve your tomorrow, whether you're here or not.
And somebody tell me, somebody find it somewhere, somehow, somebody find it and tell me where all the love that flows through a person's heart in any given lifetime comes from. How is it that you can love your neighbors and your friends and your family and people you don't even know all day long, every day, and never run out of that love? Now, the bank account that Raymond talked about, seconds of times, it's empty every day, like he said. But that love, even when you're wasting time standing around doing nothing towards whatever, you know, and you're holding back all that love, you go out all day long and all you do is show your friends and family and neighbors and just as much love as you can try to hand out. You can't empty that bank account.
No, you cannot.
So
that account cannot be empty. It can only grow.
And the hate account, well, it's got some really bad drawbacks on that one. Not only will it drain you, you know, it usually comes with like karma.
It right.
Ends so well. You go out there and you hate on people and hate on them and hate on them, and suddenly you wonder why nobody loves you.
Really?
Huh.
Think about it a minute, folks.
So I'm thinking, with what Raymond said and with what I just said, I'm thinking that taking your time to love somebody, that's going to come with some benefits as well.
Yep.
It's going to reap some serious rewards. Maybe you'll love all your neighbors and they'll forget your birthday. You know? But maybe they won't. Maybe that day you come up there and they remember all the... You know, speaking of birthdays, mine's this October 13th. I'll be 51 years old.
Wow. You baby.
Yeah. How was life back in the Civil War, Raymond?
Really?
It was interesting. Anyway, so maybe they won't forget it. Maybe your birthday will show up and there ain't a single soul in sight, man. And you're like, oh, wow, everybody forgot my birthday. And then you walk around the corner and everybody jumps out and gives you a stroke. And since you're a 51-year-old man, you don't fare so well. But, hey, at least they cared enough to say hi.
Really?
Surprise! Ooh! Didn't go over so well. But
October what?
13th.
13?
Yeah, I was born on the unlucky number. I was born in 1965, which was the first...
My brother's birthday is September the 13th, and he was born when September the 13th was a Friday.
Yeah, well, see...
He was not only born on the 13th, he was born on Friday the 13th.
Every so often, because of a leap year or something like that, I end up having a Friday birthday, but it's not very often. Most generally, it's on Wednesday. But either way, when I was born, the year before I was born, they made quarters and dimes out of silver. After I was born, they made them out of junk and silver. And
right.
So, as soon as I stepped through the door, all heck started breaking loose, man. I was too young to go to Vietnam, but that was around the same time frame, wasn't it, when I was a child?
Yep.
All right, well.
I was just getting out of high school when you were born.
Yep. So you were sitting there getting ready to jump out into the real world with the real life and stuff, and I was just coming into the world.
Yep.
Things were starting to go downhill from that point on. You know, here.
it was going downhill before you were born. Remember, I was there.
Well, I'm sure that there was probably a lot of drama that went on. I just sometimes when I think about the time, like when you would have been a child, those were better times as far as I'm concerned, even though they might have been a little rougher times, you know, like maybe the depression and that kind of stuff, you know, or fuel crises or, you know, dramas that were playing out in the world. But it seemed to me that word of gold and the way that people respected each other and the fact that they weren't cussing on TV back in them days and stuff like that was just a hair bit, if not a little bit more better than it is today. You see what I mean?
Yep.
Back in there, you could trust your neighbors enough to maybe you leave your door unlocked at night and didn't have to worry about people messing around.
When I had my place back down in North Carolina, when we would go shopping, go into Elizabeth City, North Carolina, we deliberately left our house unlocked out of fear. Truthfully.
Because your neighbors might need something?
Exactly. Our neighbors might need something, and we might be there to help them with it. So we left our house unlocked so they could go in and help themselves.
See?
That was the kind of world I grew up in.
Nowadays, it's like you lock it up because it done told you that the burglar's in the neighborhood. Gonna steal you blind. You know something, man? I told my kids a long time ago when they were young, I said, you know, if you ever see something that you think you have to have so bad that you're willing to steal for it, I said, come to me first. If it's in my power, I would rather give it to you than have you go out and steal it.
Right.
And I hope that they remember that. Because when you steal from people, you steal from yourself.
Yes, you do.
You know?
Your integrity, your dignity.
Yeah, and there's things that, like I said, you can't change yesterday. The dirty deeds that you did when you was younger were wild and crazy, you know, before you got a little bit of wisdom under your belt and started realizing maybe this is not such a good thing. You know, you can't change that. But what you can change is trying to make sure that you never repeat that again in the future and you always do something decent instead of something dirty. You know?
Yep.
I know that these words coming out of my mouth are in most of the hearts of most of the people out there because I'm a true believer that the majority of all the people out there in this world are good-hearted individuals that don't succumb to darkness all day long, every day. And I believe that if the American people could use what they got, what they truly have, you know, I always say every time I go to a funeral, it's sad that it takes a tragedy to bring a family together. That shouldn't be the case. A family should want to be together. They should put their differences aside and make an extra effort to join each other because, like Thomas's song, time keeps on slipping into the future. Everybody continues to get older. They continue to grow farther apart. And you miss out on some of the best years of your life by missing out on your families. You know? And one day, you wake up and you get that terrible call, you know, such and such ain't here no more. You know, we've lost a couple wonderful people on the road on our journey here with the Knights of the Round Table.
Yep.
A couple people we'll never get to have conversations with again. You know, I say never, but most folks these days, they don't believe in an afterlife or divine intervention or something like that. I believe personally that someday, if all things work for the good, then one day we'll get to meet those folks that, you know, left us early and went to the next world or whatever comes after. But in the meantime, I want to honor their memory. I want to honor their hard work by trying to do a little hard work myself and trying to do what I can to make this world a better place.
You know, one man's name comes to mind when you're talking like this. That's Lockman Ship.
Yeah.
He was truly a great man.
Yeah, he was. He helped a young man learn how to read. Wonderful guy. And
he did. He helped a lot of young people.
Granada Steve, you know, there were so many wonderful incidents. You know, he pulled me up out of the dirt a few times because I was, you know how I get, Ram, when I get down whenever, you know, I'm engulfed by negativity. I'm like a sponge, man. And my friends, they always seem to be there for me. Not all the time I'm venting to them. I'm apologizing for venting to them. I'm like, I shouldn't be telling you this, but if I bottled it up, it'd tear me apart.
There you go.
And I'm thankful that my friends are there whenever I'm in the position to where I'm feeling like I'm ready to just give it up. Because, man, when I think about it, I'm proud of what I do here at Shaziz Radio.
There you go.
You know?
You gotta be like that old mule that fell down in the well. And the farmer decided he was too old to work anymore. And the well was too dangerous to leave open, so he called his neighbors and they started throwing dirt down in the well that they were gonna fill it up. But every time a shovel load of dirt would hit that mule on the back, he'd just shake it off and step up.
Yep.
Eventually, when he stepped up, he stepped up out of the well.
Yep.
Gotta shake it off. Just shake it off. It ain't nothing but a thing. Just a thing.
Well, then those folks that are throwing the dirt down the well thought they were doing a bad thing, or maybe even they thought they were doing a good thing, but the mule, he used it for his benefit. He was the one making lemons out of lemonade. Or lemonade out of lemons.
He was making lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah.
Life was throwing lemons, and he was making lemonade.
Bet the look on their face was priceless when he stepped out.
Yep.
Maybe this one ain't done yet.
Really?
Folks, there's a tradition that was going on years and years ago for farmers. Farmer would have a run of bad luck and, you know, something would burn their barn down. The neighbors would all rally. They'd bring tools. They'd bring wood. They'd bring food. And they'd bring family and friends. And they would raise the barn. They'd put another barn right up there because they knew that one day it might be their barn going down. And they loved and respected their neighbors so much that they came over there and they didn't ask that neighbor to pay them back for what they did. They asked that neighbor to pass it on.
Exactly.
You know?
You know, back in those days, the guys actually didn't, and even the women participated. They did the cooking and prepared lunch for the men and this, that, and the other. And, I mean, they had quilting bees while the men were building the barn, and nobody thought about working. They were just having a good time associating with their neighbors, their friends.
That's right. The kids were babysitting each other and running errands for the adults.
Exactly.
Everybody was doing something.
Nobody was working.
You know,
having a party.
I got to repeat this one here because it comes close to my heart. I've had so many people come up there in the last couple of years, come up there and tell me thank you for your service, you know.
Right.
And every time they tell me that, I feel like something's wrong. And I was sitting at a football game with my nephew, who is one heck of a quarterback, by the way. And so anyway, they were having Military Appreciation Day, and they were thanking everybody for their service. And I wanted so bad to get up in front of that microphone and talk to those people, and I wanted to tell them, thank you for your service. Because while these men and women are out there doing what they do, trying to protect their countries or fighting for freedom and justice or whatever, the people at home, there is no such thing as a job that is not respectable. You know, if you're a cook or a waiter or a waitress or, you know, the dishwasher or, you know, the man who delivers the food or whatever, take one issue out of that, one person, one job out of that whole deal, and the meal doesn't get delivered properly, or it's late, or it just doesn't happen at all, because, you know, if you ain't got clean dishes, then you don't have something to feed people on.
You know, people can cook their own food.
For sure they can.
They can carry their food to their table, and they could also take their trash to the dump. But you got the sanitation engineer, he's coming around, and he's picking up your trash twice a week.
Yeah.
He's getting paid, but not a lot. I mean, you know, why not show him a little gratitude? Just go, if you don't do anything, we'll just take him a glass of lemonade and say thank you.
So I'm saying that I'm thinking the average Joe out there, the non-military, never been in the military in their life. I'm thanking them for their service, because while I was out doing what I was doing for the country, they were at home holding down the fort. They were taking care of, you know, they could have just sat on their booty and let the economy crash and society deteriorate. No, that what they did was they kept on going. They kept doing what people do in average life. They went to work. They kept society going. They kept the economy going. They had some place for me to come back to. Imagine if they gave up while I was gone and I come back and it was worse than when I left. You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying.
So to all those folks out there, non-military, first off, a great deal of appreciation for the fact that you tell your soldiers and your police officers and your firemen and all the folks that do things, thank you for your service. Well, coming from a military guy and an ex-police officer, I want to thank you for your service, for everything that you do to either make the world a better place, to do your job, or take care of one another, fixing that person's tire on the side of the road. You know, do you think about all the implications of not stopping to help that person fix their tire? Maybe their health isn't good. They could have a heart attack or even get hurt because they don't really know what they're doing, but you took the time out of your life. Now you don't have ambulances rushing to the scene. Now you don't have police rushing to the scene. You, the one person, just saved your community a whole lot of heartache and financial just by that one action that you took the time out of your life to do. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm sure you'd agree, Raymond, they use that time valuable.
Yes, sir. I agree 100%.
So, that's where we stand here, guys, gals. If you like where we stand and you like to stand with us, there's plenty of room here because cyberspace is huge. It's big. I don't think we're going to run out of room. And we sure ain't going to run out of any love here. You know? The only thing that I ask in return is to pass it on. Share our podcast with somebody. We're not trying to get famous. We're trying to pass some words of wisdom. We're not trying to ask anybody for any money. We're just trying to pass some words of wisdom. And so, we got our 200th Knights of the Round Table coming up here soon. If you want to do something amazing for the voices that you've heard on this radio show, I'm clicking over onto my podcast because I want to get you an exact number of how many Knights of the Round Table podcasts that are available. We're coming up close to our 200th podcast. We're at 198 podcasts. Today's 199. Wow. That means that week from now. Is that right, Raymond?
Yep.
A week from now will be our 200th podcast. Help us celebrate it by invite enough people to the chat room to lock it down. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's not often you ask people to overload your chat room.
Well, hey, that's not a problem. Hopefully they do. Then, hey, I'm in construction. I remodel all the time. We just build it a little bit bigger.
Yep.
That's all we do, folks. Come on in. Join us.
The good thing about the Super Chat room is we still have an extra chat room right there, right beside ours. Wake Radio.
Everybody's welcome, and there is room for all. And if for one reason or another there isn't, we will make room.
Yep. But you like this show, if you like what we're saying here,
yep,
do us the honor and invite a friend a week from today out here for the 200th night of the round table. That's 200 shows that we did out there to talk about things and to people and try to help them out throughout their time. That's all we ask. Pass our podcast around. Get other people involved. Invite them to come talk on the mic. It's as simple as that. So anyway, we're going to probably run over here, but I got to play us out of here first with a dream too, because I want you to understand what the dream is. And I believe in this with all my heart about this dream. So with that said, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Stay tuned. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet!
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet! I order you to be quiet!
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red knights around the table. Green knights whenever we're able. We routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam off. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more than table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the Pramalot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.